Okay, we begin with I think probably ends up being something that everything really that we speak about is something that I myself try to work on and in process of working on. Talk is cheap. Even though talk, of course, is also part of helping someone become what they want to become is when you think about it, when you talk about it. The more a person talks about something, the more a person thinks about something, the more it becomes into a reality. There's machshava, dibur, and maisa. It's very important for a person to just expose himself and to be familiar with concepts. You know, one of the challenges that we have, it's why I love that line from Shui so much. That's such a powerful line about growth, because growth is something, I think I said this over the other day, from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that they say that when he brought that bacher a plant and he put it in his room and he gave him the present of a plant and put it and the boy put it in his room to remember that growth is not something that you see constantly, just like you don't see a plant growing, just like you don't see someone growing unless you don't see them for like 6 months or a year, and then you're like, oh wow, you look so different. Even then, you still might not. But even more so when you're with yourself every day, and you're with yourself. So as Melody Beattie, as I'm mentioning here in the Beis Medrash, but I think it's okay. As Melody Beattie, she says, and everyone, you know, I would suggest everyone to read Melody Beattie, the Codependent No More. Just little by slowly, which means growth comes so little by slowly, so slow. And like we said, the theme of the past weekend, and I'm going to push it as the theme for the end of the year, is really the theme of that we've grown so much, and you don't see growth. You don't see your growth. That's why we need each other. We need each other to remind us, because when I tell you you've grown and you tell me that I've grown, so we usually don't believe it either way. You don't believe it. You're like, okay, he's being nice to me. Is it really true? But all of these things that we talk about, especially at your stage, when you're younger and you struggle, we all struggle, but when you're younger and you're really trying to create your independence is the most powerful thing, is learning yourself. Really learning yourself. Mirz Hashem, when you get married, so then you're going to have to, then you have your wife to learn, and you'll have your children to learn, and she'll have you to, that she'll learn. Not that you don't continue learning yourself. You will, but now you have a new responsibility. Now you have a new responsibility. When you're a bacher, let's say from 18 years old, 17, because when you're 14, 15, 13, 14, 15, 16, We'll give you till you get here. I don't know, whatever age you are, till you get here. I'll give you the high school. I always say that. High school, elementary school, okay, you got to do your homework or you don't do your homework. You rebel or you don't rebel. Whatever you do, at the end of the day, you're under the guise, if that's the right word, you're under the umbrella of mom and dad. Now, your whole life, you might be struggling with mom and dad. Your whole life, you might be, let me say that better. Your whole life, you might be separating yourself from mom and dad. And that doesn't mean your father wasn't a good father. It doesn't mean your mother was not a good mother. It could be your father was not a good father and your mother was also not a good mother. That could also be true. But to create independence, to become an independent person is where it gets difficult. And when life, and that's why this stage, the 18-year-old, till you're 21, 22, 23, 24, where you're really creating who you are. That's where it's so important to talk about the things that we're talking about. That's why it's so important to talk about what's my shame. It's also equally important, and this is really what today's shir I want to discuss. It's equally important to talk about what your strengths are. Just like it's important to talk about what your shame is. Shame grows when you don't talk to somebody about it. That's where shame festers, and it grows. That's its ground. That's its seeds for growth. Is where I don't share with someone something. That's really where shame comes from. Now your strengths are equally important. I had that ha'ara. I said it last night by Shalosh Shudas. I had that ha'ara that it says "Oz tischazek v'sisrape," which is we need chizik, which means strength, and we need refuah to heal. And they're not mutually exclusive, which means that they're both, and that's why I'm sharing from within myself, that I know my journey, my own personal journey, is a journey of healing and strengthening, of understanding my weaknesses and understanding my strengths, and I'm still working on that. So the reason I'm sharing that with you, and I want to really talk to everyone here, because a lot of times, right, we'll talk about, you know, giving space for a person to heal. Like we said, as Yosef said so well, and it's so true, that line is so true that it's harder to get out of your head than it is to get out of your bed. And I'm proud of that line that I've said, probably it's a six-year-old line. It's harder to get out of your head than it is to get out of your bed. And this week, I mean, Yosef's holding in Covey, so Stephen Covey, Franklin Covey, I saw that a little bit of that video. I went to that seminar, by the way, not to that actual one, but Franklin Covey seminar over probably close to 25 years ago, right? Which is all about the strengths, and it's all not so much about necessarily healing and all of those things, even though that's part of it, like we spoke the other day. So the thing that I want to share with everyone, I want to hear from all of you. Lashon Hara, bottom line, let's talk about Lashon Hara for 1 second. The problem with one of the problems with Lashon Hara, one of the problems with Lashon Hara is that you're focusing on the person's weakness. Everybody has weakness and everybody has strength. Why are you focusing, and I don't mean why in a negative way, but like that's the question of Lashon Hara. Why am I focusing on the person's weakness when I can equally focus on the person's strength? Shui, I mentioned your line again. Shui Liefer, I mentioned his line again. And one of the things I said in that is that change can be quick, but you don't really change, but you're not growing. A person who changes, right? Okay, so he changed, but he's not growing. Growing takes time, takes patience, takes a lot of patience, a lot of love, a lot of chizik, a lot of strength, strengthening oneself.
It's not really
so,
a change. I don't know what that change is.
Like, right, and it's a external. It's an external change. Right. Correct. Again, now again, but what you just that. Now just to say the other one, Avigdor, just to give space for the for change as well, because we will talk about ultimately changing. Is that when you grow and you grow and you grow, then ultimately what happens is you will end up changing. That will end up changing. You want to change as a memela. You want to change as a byproduct.
You don't have to constantly work.
You don't have to constantly. Very good.
Shame.
Okay, good. So, Rabbi Lada. So exactly. So that's what I want to. So again. So that's really. Thank you, Rabbi Lazarus. That's really where I want to go with this. Meaning, it's equally important. It's equally important for a person to learn how to get out of bed in order to get out of his head. And I think that is where the balance comes. There's Tiferes, which is a combination of Chesed and Gevura. Many people here, well, let's start like this. Everybody here can identify themselves. Don't get worried. I'm talking in 2024 about identifying yourself. But everybody over here can identify themselves as someone who needs more compassion for themselves, or like Rabbi Lazarus is saying, might actually need to set more goals for themselves. Now that's not a contradiction, but I just want, if everyone here can take a second
and to try and understand. Now, you could look at it from your father and your mother. It could be your father is the, represents more the, I'm just using this as an example, represents the critical, high standard, pushing expectations, goals, and your mother represents love and acceptance and whatever. It could be the opposite. Could be your mother is stronger and your father is a little bit softer. Could be they're both soft. Could be they're both strong. It's not about what's right or what's wrong. It's about first understanding and identifying yourself. And first saying, this is what I was talking about, Lashon Hara. The reason we speak Lashon Hara is because we're looking for something. We're looking for something. And that something that we're looking for does not exist outside of ourselves. The thing that we're looking for exists within ourselves. And the more you begin to understand yourself, am I more like my father naturally? Am I more like my mother naturally? Am I someone who's more someone who's pushing myself to be, that's one of the beauties of strength finders. Am I someone who is a natural head guy? Or am I a natural in my emotions person? Because what happens many times with people is that if your natural inkling is to be, let's say, this type of person, and you grow up in a home where there's this type of thing, and then you go to a school where there's this type of thing, right? So then it can get very difficult for you. If you're a soft, sweet, sensitive, easygoing, a little ADD, you have some energy, AAEIC, above average energy, imagination, and creativity, right?
You haven't said that in a while.
Yeah, right? Haven't said that in a while, right? AAEIC, above average energy, imagination, and creativity. What?
Zach Perkow's name is just popping into my head.
That what? Above average energy, yeah, imagination, and super calm and chill, but above average. He's had a notebook, so with his calm, easygoing, sweetness to Zach, Morty, you nailed it a little bit. He's got to have a little bit of a crazy, in a good way, part to him because he's sitting here taking notes, and he takes himself very seriously. So that's a great example of, we're not getting into you, Zach, but I'm saying that could be something that someone could struggle with. Here I'm a sensitive, nice, sweet guy, but at the same time, I know how to discipline myself. Or you could be someone who has trouble with that. I have trouble disciplining myself. I have trouble getting a notebook. But my mother always told me, or my father always told me, you know, be responsible, be responsible, be responsible. And you could struggle with that. So therefore, I bedafka am not. Victor's shaking your head over there with the. Yeah, that what?
Yeah, I'm not touching no notebook. My parents told me I gotta do that. I ain't doing nothing to tell me to do.
Okay. Okay, yeah, okay, that's good. So I just want to say, if you don't mind me saying, that's also dangerous.
Yeah.
That's dangerous.
That's the feeling. That's what
no, good. Correct. I'm saying that, I don't know if that's the right word, dangerous. But it's important to be aware of, because what happens is we go that extreme, because then you lose the notebook and the pen all in the name, and that's where the independence comes from. All in the name of rebellion. I'm not talking about you, Avigdor, because we all, you know, we all have that inside of us, but that's the point. When you're aware of that, that's where it's important. Okay, question, comments, yes.
I have two questions.
Yes.
One, is there a healthy level of shame? Because we've it made it seem like
shame. Yeah, of course. There is. Yeah. Well, again, right. Without getting into Brené Brown, the chiluk, meaning it is good to be shame. That's the reason we don't walk around naked. It's the reason we have honor for our bodies, for ourselves. Yeah. Correct. The unhealthy shame.
Is correct.
When it becomes destructive and it hurts me and I because of that, I'm not able to be me. Right. I'm not able to really be who I want to be. Yes, number two.
I did something wrong, or I am wrong.
Right. My essence, correct. That's the guilt versus shame.
And you gave an example of with a dad and a mother, and the dad is very critical and expectations.
Right.
Could that be maybe why some people, or even me, have a hard time connecting to Hashem in the way of that?
Of
they see their father, their physical father, like that. So they see
100%. We've spoken about that many times, Shlomi. That's a good. It's very good when it comes to religion, when it comes to Hashem. So a lot of our image of Hashem and religion is based on our father and based on that relationship. So that
you separate yourself.
I don't want to get into it. It takes a lot of time. Yeah, you gotta first separate the two, and that takes. You gotta first deal with your father. You have to deal with whatever the father part of you, whatever it is. You gotta deal. It's hard.
Is that the only way to really connect to God? Mm-hmm.
To connect to Hashem.
Meaning to really like connect to it on a, I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Avinu Avarachman, Avinu Malkeinu, Hashem is our father. So I don't know who my father is until you figure out your father. Yeah. Okay. Question, comments after that one? Binyamin, somebody? Comments are welcome as well.
Yeah. On what we were saying before about like the parents, and like Rebbe used the word dangerous, and about the fact that if you just go on full rebellion, then you're also binding yourself,
correct,
and you're locking yourself in,
correct,
to be able to live the life that you truly want to live,
correct, because that's what it is, that's what the independence is, I think. There, what is rebellion? Rebellion is why do teenagers more or less, because they're so connected to my parents. I gotta get away. I'm so connected to authority, so I gotta get away. But if I already got away, then I could just live the life that I want to live. Now, obviously, there are different levels to that. There are different levels to independence. You're always going to be reinventing yourself and recreating yourself. No matter how old you are, you're gonna try and become more independent. But at this stage, it's very, very important to be able to separate yourself from that, from your parents, from your rebbeim, from your school, from the system, and to really get in touch with yourself and to understand what is it that I want, who am I? And then people get afraid, they get scared, they say, uh-oh, you know what that means? That means if I do that, then I'm going to end up, you know, doing whatever I, oh, you say I could do whatever I want, then I'm gonna end up doing drugs, I'm gonna end up doing that. It's the exact opposite. I've only seen people do drugs, alcohol, escape, because they can't do what they want. So that's where they get what they want. It's like it's an illusion. Yeah?
The process needs to begin.
That what?
I think it's important for us to be aware that like the rebellion aspect is generally part of the process for a reason. I mean, you can't just jump straight to making your own decisions. There's a place of rebellion.
100%.
And then to find your balance and...
Right, but the only thing I'm sharing with you on that is the to give yourself... It's not rebellion. It's like Reuven Kamen once told me a great... Rabbi Reuven Kamen, great person, told me a great line once. And I'm saying this for what you're saying, Avigdor. He said he didn't like the word manipulate.
Right.
To be manipulated. I've told this to you? Rather, it's called self-advocacy. You're advocating for yourself. So I'm saying the same to what you're saying. I wouldn't use the word rebellion. I would use the word that I'm learning to choose to live the life that I want to live.
I agree with that.
You hear that?
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Because rebellion is has a negative connotation, and also rebellion is klape somebody else. Right, I'm doing it, like you're saying, am I choosing not to have a notebook and a pen? Or I can't even choose that.
Mm.
Right? You hear that nuance? Okay, Avigdor. Thank you, Avigdor. Thank you. Okay. Yes.
I feel like the way to describe manipulation is self-advocacy is manipulation.
Or self-advocacy again. Yeah. So now the goal. I like that. Shai, you'll use it for Mitzvah Shem.
Yeah.
The goal. I think the goal is to be able to learn. Oh, Chaim. Yeah. Go ahead.
From your parents, I find that you might also be rebellious. Like you're like, oh, now I can do what I want.
So, I'm just saying it's. I think what happens is when it's in reaction to somebody, so that's not proactive. That's reactive, which means I'm reacting to. Meaning, sometimes a person doesn't even know: is it really what I want, or I'm just reacting to the situation. It's very important to be able to distinguish between the two. To say, I am actually choosing to sit here. Avigdor, can I use your example? Is that okay? With no notebook and a pen.
Right.
He's choosing. Now I would be able to sit with Avigdor and say, Avigdor, but what you're doing is, do you want to sit here with a pen and a notebook? And he might say, absolutely. He might say, me deep down, I want to take notes. But to be aware that I'm reacting from my parents. Do you hear the difference? So what happens is, when people say, you got to heal. Some, you know, it's like the old story. It's the old story without getting into 12 steps and addicts. It's the old story with, do you first stop doing what you're doing, or do you first heal? And if you heal, you'll stop doing what you're doing.
I don't know.
And I think the answer is, right, it depends who it is,
right?
A lot of times you could try and do both. You could also see what the results are. You could see what happens. I'm not talking about an addict and a real addict. I'm not going into that world. I'm talking about somebody who's doing something that he's escaping, someone who's doing something that he's aware. The most important thing is the awareness. Why am I doing what it is that I am doing? Where is that coming from? Is that coming from a place that I'm choosing to do it? It's coming from a reactive place. Not that you have to change what you're doing. It could be the same exact thing you're doing. It's just the awareness of where is it coming from. Right? Somebody has social anxiety, which many people have, especially because of the electronics. The earlier you went to your electronics, the more probable you could have social anxiety because you never had to deal with your social challenging interactions and you just spaced out and found yourself, your phone, to be your, you know, the whatever it was. Or, right, if somebody has social anxiety, why am I not walking into the room? Why am I not walking in there? Why am I not walking in? I'm aware that I'm nervous. What happens usually is we beat ourselves up. We don't give ourselves the opportunity to experience whatever it is that we're experiencing. So I don't even get to even have a conversation with myself about why am I doing what it is that I'm doing. But if I'm aware that the reason that I'm not bringing a notebook, or the reason that I'm not learning, or the reason I'm not doing it is because X, Y, and Z, then at least I have an awareness.
Eventually you're going to be able to do it. Like,
again, see that, so that right there is what do I want to do? Exactly. It's not about eventually I'll end up doing it. Every person I believe and I know to be true wants to be happy, wants to be responsible, wants to get married, wants to be a good father, wants to be a good husband, wants to learn Torah, be a good Jew. Everybody wants the same thing. So what's the catch? What's the catch? The catch is understanding my independence. Of who am I? Who is Yoni? Who is Chaim? Who is Yosef? Who am I? Who am I really? What am I about? Why do I react like this? Now again, this is a process that takes your whole entire lifetime. But if you're not going to start now, this I could say with a strength to everybody here, if you don't start now, it's going to be much harder to start later on in life. The earlier you begin to focus on you and on your, to know the difference between my cognition and my emotions, to know that I'm a thinker. That's what I was saying. Is your strength in your thought, or your strength is in your emotion? Where does it lie? Where do your weaknesses lie? What happens is, the reason we speak Lashon Hara is because it's much easier for us to say, that guy's this, this guy's this. We categorize the whole world. This one's like this, this one's this. And what does it do? It takes me away from myself.
But if only, like, you're able to see it so much clearer in someone else sometimes. Like, oh, this guy's obviously such a...
That's
great. He's giving, like, it's harder to see it yourself.
Yeah, of course. It's not that it's harder to see it yourself. It's the Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to see it in yourself. The Yetzer Hara Chaim.
It's so much harder.
I feel like that's putting responsibility on something
else.
Everything.
What do you mean?
That it's hard to see it in yourself because, like, an outside force is blocking it, rather than, well, you didn't put in the time and the work in
okay,
order
good.
To...
So, tipot, so my... So one second. So good. Very good. Very good. That we're saying the same thing. You know why we're saying the same thing? Because in Mesil Sisharim, he says clearly that the biggest power of the Yetzer Hara is that I don't have time and I'm busy. And he brings a raya from Paro. And he says that Paro made the Jewish people work so hard that they were too busy. And he calls that, the first time he's mentioning, is actually the Ramchal's Yartzeit tonight, Mirtz Hashem, those who are coming tomorrow to make the Siyam, tomorrow Mirtz Hashem. But that's what he says, that I'm too busy. I'm too busy, whether it's outside or not, however you want to understand that spiritually. I am a rabbi and I'm talking the spiritual aspect. So the spiritual aspect of it is that I can touch up everybody else in the world. And I could give opinions about every other person in the world. But when I do that, not only am I hurting that person, as the Chafetz Chaim says, but I'm hurting myself more than I'm hurting that person. Because I'm spending my mental energy, I'm spending my emotional energy in something that doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to me. First of all, I don't even know if it's true. Secondly, even if it's true, it's not my business. And thirdly, I just use my brain power, my emotions, right, in somewhere where it doesn't do anything for anybody.
Right. It's the same bottom line in both.
Correct. And okay. And at the end of the day, right? At the end of the day, what is it? So we sit here for a half hour a day, maybe we try to sit here and do what, and just talk about things. And I always say this is one of my favorite lines. I'm not here to say the truth, because that's dangerous when you say, oh, I'm here to say the truth. I'm here to say, and for us to talk about things that are true. We're here to talk about things that are true. What's the difference? Because I don't like saying the truth. The truth. When I say things that are true, to have a good relationship, you need to learn how to have empathy and listen to the other person. No one can argue. That's not an arguable thing. It's objective truth. That's all. That's the difference. It's not something that somebody can argue. A person who sleeps all day and a person, ready? Here, I'll say another thing that is true. If somebody does not have goals and does not have purpose, and a person who does not have a schedule, and they really sort of go with the flow of whatever it is less likely to be happy with his life than somebody who does. Now that doesn't mean, that's a true statement. That doesn't mean that there aren't people who wake up early and work hard and have their goals. They don't suffer from internal things that might make them not happy. But it is a proponent for a person being happy, having a schedule, having goals, having mission. And then a guy like that, who is not healing and is not dealing with his wounds from childhood, because that's exactly the point that I wanted to bring out today, is that combination is when you really begin to thrive. When you're able to really thrive is when you're able to do both, which is you're able to really shift gears, and at one, if you're able to schedule yourself, at the same time, you're able to give yourself space. You could tell your level of maturity if you're able to do both, which is I'm able to heal, and I'm able to work hard. I'm able to take a break, right? Like when I always say, you got to work on yourself. So everybody says, oh, but maybe I need a vacation. I need to work on myself. So who says that? That's not working on yourself. Maybe working on yourself is taking a vacation. Maybe that's how you work on yourself. Why does working on yourself mean that you have to beat yourself up? Maybe working on yourself means you got to learn not to beat yourself up. And that's where you have to, that's where step one is, you got to know your personality. You have to know your nature. You have to know where, and that's why childhood, again, is so important. The reason childhood is so important is because that's really where you pick it up from. You're going to be like your dad. You're going to be like your mom. You're going to be like both. You might even be like your uncle. You may be like somebody. There's somebody. It doesn't just show up. And the point of that is not to blame anybody. The point of that is not to blame dad. It's not to blame mom. It's not to blame your uncle. It's not to blame anyone. It's to understand. It's to understand that Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. It's not, nothing is new. It's not, doesn't. Nothing just recreates itself. You're a product of your environment, of your primary caregivers, of whatever it might be. Question, comments, please.
Unless you change that.
You have to know your strengths.
Sorry, determinants. What?
You have to know your strengths. Mm-hmm. In order to grow, you have to know your strengths.
100%. I mean, look, Rabbi Lazarus is sitting here, Kanai Nahara, a little bit older than all of us, very much older than you, and a little bit also. Kanai Nahara, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Lazarus, why is he sitting here? He's sitting here to get, yeah, I love it. I love it. To me, you know what's inspiring? No, it's inspiring because it means it's a constant journey. It's a constant journey of getting to know yourself. Yes, Judah. And then we'll have to wrap up, yes.
You were talking about how
Yes.
Yeah. So is that why generational trauma, like,
yeah, for sure.
How does someone, like, kind of, so to speak,
beat,
like,
that?
Like, let's say there are obviously great qualities to it. Every single human has great qualities. So how do you enhance those and lessen the other qualities?
Well, first you have to. So first of all, just to mention what Judah's talking about is generational trauma. So anyone who comes from the Holocaust, right? I know Daniel, I know his grandfather, great grandparents. I know a few of their Yitzi Grumwald. I'm saying I know Chaim as well. I'm saying anyone whose grandparents, great grandparents, anyone in there has Holocaust, Yisrael, anyone who has any Holocaust in there. So you already fit into a very simple category. Again, it doesn't make your full makeup, but it definitely, there are consistencies in Holocaust trauma. Even if you're a grandchild or a great grandchild, there's certain consistencies in that are always going to show up. Now, the goal that you want to do in that,
how do I make sure my kids don't?
So again, you first, you just got to deal with yourself at this point. You don't have kids now. So the way...
How do I break it from me?
You break it by understanding you and focusing on you. And God willing, Mirz Hashem, you marry a not toxic... Amen is true. And you marry a woman who is on a higher journey, and you marry up. And you get someone who you can look up to, and someone who is healthy and works on themselves a lot. And then you'll work together. Then Amir Tashem, as I say many times, right? We just create, your children are just going to create, be another link in the chain if you don't make that change. If you don't make that change of what you want to do, and you can make that change, then it will happen. It's not the pshat that maybe it will happen. There's no reason why it won't happen again. Whatever you were traumatized. And what Avigdor was saying before, it'll happen if you go the other extreme also. I have that a lot of times with people. If your father disciplined you extra, or your mother was extra disciplined, and you swore that you're not going to discipline at all, and you're going to go the other way, you will do equal damage that way. Because it's all a reaction. It's all the same thing. You're just feeding the same thing in a different way. Yeah.
I feel like, but there's also that, like, when people have, like, an influence in their life a certain way that they don't process, and then they turn out the same way if they don't process that, or, like, they'll turn, sometimes they'll just go the opposite way. How does one get to just being the balanced center?
Correct. That's the that's what we're talking about. That's what it is. Knowing yourself, understanding yourself, spending the time now. At 18, at 19, at 20, the earlier you could begin to separate yourself. And it's not a contradiction to have a great relationship with your parents. That's a whole separate conversation. Adaraba, you'll have a better relationship with your parents. You'll have a much better relationship when you become more independent and understanding yourself. And understanding, these are my strengths. These are my weaknesses. This is where I get this from. This is where I get this from. This is who I am. And that's the journey of life. That is the journey of life. That is Teferis. That's Yaakov Avinu, by the way. Because Yaakov Avinu, we are B'nai Yisrael. We're B'nai Yaakov. Avraham is Kula Chesed. Yitzchak is Kula Gvura. And Yaakov Avinu is the synthesis of both Chesed and Gvura, and the beauty of that healing and strengthening and living you, just being you, living you. Okay, we'll wrap up now. We'll do one halacha. Anyone else? Yes, Yosef.
I want to make sure that, because I feel like at a certain point I was hearing both of that, you're going to end up like someone that was around you, whether it's your mother, father, or aunt.
So hopefully, yeah, you want to break free of that.
Okay.
You want to become you. You want to break free of that. Yeah, because you naturally will. If a person doesn't work on himself.
Right, unless you change
Unless that. You actually, because remember, you're going against a flow. You're always going against a flow. And as long as you're constantly, and I don't, it doesn't mean every second, it doesn't mean every day, but it means within yourself that I'm learning to recreate who I am, and to be who it is that I want to be. You always want to be redefining yourself like that. And the more you do that, the more you have chances of creating the life that you want to create. Creating the life that you want to create. And I'll end off with this. That's the truth. We'll end off with this. And that is like this. You must, I think I said this on Shabbos, I think I said this at the Suda. So for those who heard me say this, and I think it's so important, you got to dream. You gotta be a dreamer. You must dream. You have to dream. Not just, I always say, Rabbi Lazarus just said, you know, I made this up a few years ago. Goals are what you do after the dream, which means you dream that you want to live a certain way. You want your marriage to be a certain way. You want to have your home be a certain way. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many times you failed. And I don't care how messed up your family is, was, or whatever it is, or you are, or whatever it is. Once you stop dreaming the dream, that's when you're in trouble. That's when you're in trouble. And everyone here can continue dreaming. For sure, you guys. You guys are so young to dream, to say, my dream is one day I want to be a big Talmud Chacham, or I want to be a big wealthy person, or I want to be a great father, a great husband, and all put together, maybe. I don't know. But when you dream that dream, and then you set the goals, how to reach that dream, and then you slowly say, and it takes time, and Mamish, I can't even tell you guys, it takes so much time. It's one thing I said yesterday. It took my wife and I, we always dream, just to share, just a personal, one of the things that I said. My wife and I dreamed that we were living in Eretz Yisrael. Then we left 20, whatever it was, many, many years ago. And we always dreamed one day we're going to go back. It took us 20 years to get back. It took us 20 years. Thank you. It took us 20 years. So someone would say, oh, what happened? No, nothing happened. You got to dream. You have to dream your dreams. And I think that's where the Lashon Hara comes in the most. Don't be busy with other people. It's so like, ugh. Don't try not to be busy with other people. You know, you guys have the social media and all that stuff. It's terrible. It's mamish terrible. I'm not talking about the seeing Laisa Surah Khilava. I'm not talking about seeing things that are bad for your eyes. That's a whole... That's the half of it. It's not even the half of it.
The worst part of it is that, and the Rai is, anyone who knows, when you're shomer yourself, it's usually when you're happy with yourself. It's usually when you're living the life. No one's watching things and out there when they're happy and they're doing and they're feeling fulfilled. You want to be so busy in your life, living your life. Don't worry about being too self-centered now. Your wife will help you with that. And I promise, you'll hear my shiurim. I'm giving in 15 minutes of Shalom Bias. I guarantee you'll hear, because that's what I talk all day when it comes to Shalom Bias, about being sensitive to your wife. So don't worry about being self-centered. Be self-centered now. Do self-care. Take care of yourself. Because through that, you'll then be zochet to marry the right person. And then you'll deal with all the not being so self-centered. Okay. Yeah, you're not, even if you're pressured, I'm going to say it because it's a little bit late. You cannot repeat information even if you are being pressured by somebody. Your boss pressures you to repeat rechilas. You may not obey him even if you are at risk of losing your job. Unbelievable. Rechilas is, again, pinning to people, right? Your boss says, well, tell me what so-and-so said about me. Tell me what so-and-so said about me. You're not allowed to say that. Now let us say that. Okay, Hashem will help each and every one of us. Let's be zocha to create the life that we want to live. Thank you.